All right. Good evening, everyone. It's almost evening. Everyone still awake? Okay, good. Because we have some interesting stuff ahead. Data analysis expression, DAX. Who here has already played with DAX? Okay, almost 60%. Of you, who has already played with DAX in SQL Server 2012 Power Pivot? Okay, a little bit less. So 20%, even less, I think. So today's session is going to be kind of an introduction to DAX. It's going to talk about what is DAX, how can you use it, and what are some key things that you can know about DAX that will help you understand, use DAX better. This is not a deep dive in DAX. This is introductional. And what I will be doing is by showing you all the things that you can know about DAX, the basic foundation, is showing you a lot of the new functions that we introduced in SQL Server 2012. So without that, I'm going to go to the next slide. So the objectives are DAX is introduced in Power Pivot in SQL Server 2008 R2. We've enhanced DAX in SQL Server 2012. And with SQL Server 2012, now IT and BI professionals can also use DAX in SQL Server data tools and also in SSMS. So I'm going to show you two demos. One, a demo of DAX in Power Pivot, and the other one is demos of DAX as a query language in SSMS. And that is what PowerView is using. So what is DAX? DAX is the data analysis expression. It's introduced as part of Power Pivot, the add-in for Excel. Formulas can be used in two different ways. They can be used as columns, and they can be used in measures. Both are very different behavior. The same formula language, different behavior. I'll show you this in more details later. It is the same syntax as Excel, including many Excel functions, and it's actually just even true that we just copied code from the Excel code base and pasted it in Analysis Services Engine. That's how related they are. But it does have capabilities beyond the Excel formulas. We can navigate relationships. Excel doesn't know about relationships. We have tables. We have relationships in between them. Excel has a table with cells. So there's a big difference between the two. We can do dynamic calculation of measures, and I'll show you this all in a second. DAX has table-valued functions, and DAX has table time intelligence functions. And I'll show you these all in demos later. So what did we enhance in SQL 2012? DAX can now be used in both Power Pivot, but also in the professional environment, in the Tableau model. DAX is now enabled as query language for power, used by PowerView or anyone who else wants to write DAX queries. We've extended DAX with more functions, specifically to be used in PowerView. So we mainly focused on what does PowerView need and how can we help them. We did add a few functions that will enrich the language in PowerPivot, but we mainly focused on the query language side. We've added functions that build data sets for reporting, again, for the PowerView side. We've added support for more complex data models. And we are continually evolving the DAX as an expression language. So we're changing the language every day. And with that, let's just go to demo. Most part of my presentation is going to be demos, demos, demos. So let's switch. This is the one. So what I have here is Excel 2010 with Power Pivot. And what I've done here is I work for this, for those of you who have been to my session this morning, I again have a similar scenario, work for Composer Communications, and we have sales of products, communications product all over the world. And now my manager comes in and says, we have a boardroom meeting next week. I already went to the IT department because I want to know which regions are doing much better than other regions. Which are doing better because we want to open a new store and we want to know where we can go to for information how they work. So we only steal from the best one. I tried to go to the IT department. They couldn't give it to me right now, and I do need it next week. So can you help me? So me as the business user, I have Power Pivot, I have Excel installed. I went to powerpivot.com, downloaded PowerPivot, and now I'm able to get my own data. So what I have here is the PowerPivot ribbon, which you get when you install PowerPivot. But most of you already know that because you already use PowerPivot. But when you open up the ribbon, what you get here is you can import the tables. And when we have the tables in here, and you can import them very simply by from other sources, and you can just click on this one, and now we can import SQL Server or any other data source into PowerPivot. And what happens when you do that is you import the tables into PowerPivot, the data will be copied to inside the Excel add-in. And inside the Excel add-in, we have our engine running. Our analysis services tabular model engine is running inside Excel. And when it's being, the data is being transferred into Excel, the engine actually looks at all the columns in those tables, and it tries if it can compress the columns. So if you have a lot of unique rows in those columns, the column will not be very much compressed. But if you have a lot of duplicate rows, the columns will be greatly compressed. So we can take an average compression rate of 1 to 10 when you import rows. Tomorrow there's going to be a session by Ashwini, my colleague, and Alan, and they will show you much more on this. I have a slide in the end which actually points you to this. But this is a very deep dive level 400 session in our engine methodology. So if you want to know more about that, you just need to go there. And I have a slide in the end which shows you which session it is. So you import all those tables into PowerPivot, and now you can start combining and meshing up data. And one thing to show that is also new in SQL 2012 is our diagram view. This allows you to show all the tables with their relationships. So this is all the tables that I have in my database, in my model. And let's start enhancing it. Let's start doing some work. The first thing that I want to do is I want to go to my regions table, because when we talk about regions in our organization, we always want to see it in a particular format. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to enhance this table. I'm going to add some data to this table. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to write my first DAX function. And it's going to be very straightforward. I'm going to do equals sales territory group and sales territory region. And this is my first DAX function. It's pretty straightforward. And when I execute this DAX function, it will pick up the sales territory group and sales territory region for each and every row inside this table. So the first row, the values will be North America and Northwest. The second row, North America and Northeast, and so on and so on. And this is what we call a calculated column. So what happens here, a function is evaluated for each and every row inside this table. And the results of those functions are actually stored inside the table. So the interesting thing here is this formula is never executed again when you do analytics. The values are stored inside the database, in memory. So this is going to be blazing fast when you use it, because this is only executed once. And this will be, again, executed when you refresh the table. When you get new data in, this will automatically be refreshed. Let's rename it region. And that is what a calculated column is. But usually, you want to do analytics. Usually, you want to do aggregations. That is what a lot of our engine is about. Calculated columns are for enriching your model if you want to do data cleansing or grouping or things like that. If you want to do aggregations, you want to start writing measures. And measures are done somewhere else. If you go to the pivot table and start doing analytics, what you can do here is, first thing that I want to see is my sales amount. And what I do is I just click on sales amount. And what we see now is, very straightforward, a sum of sales amount. This is my second DAX measure. I didn't have to do anything. I just clicked on the column, and now it created a measure for me. And it created a measure called sum of sales amount, where the formula actually is, give me the sum of the sales table column sales amount. And you can change to sum, count, min, max, average, all of these kinds of things. But what do you actually see here? What is that value that you actually see? The sum of sales amount is 29 million. What is that? That is the aggregation, the sum of all the values inside my fact table. I didn't do anything, it automatically grouped everything together. And now this is not a very fancy, very large model with millions and millions of rows, it's just 60,000 rows, but you saw it's still blazing fast. And even if you have very large data sets, this will be very, very fast. So what's next? I now want to see my sum of sales amount by region. So what do? I go to my regions table and drag in region. Boom, there it is. I didn't have to do anything. DAX automatically makes sure that my measure is now being shown per region. And what happens here is that this field, this cell, as we call it in Excel, is now automatically being filtered. And you can see it when you hover over this particular cell, right? This is what Excel does. It does give me the sum of sales amount, where the value is 2.6 million, and what I'm showing here is actually Europe, France. So it automatically filters this measure by Europe, France. And this is what we mentioned with dynamic measures. This measure is now automatically calculated for each and every region and the grand total. I didn't have to do anything. DAX and Excel take care of this for me. I don't have to do anything. The other thing that we want to see is, of course, is by date. So we drag in calendar year. And now, again, automatic. And now if I click on the cell, there is, you see the value is now 1 million, but this cell now is Europe, France, for 2003. So now this one measure is being evaluated much more. I don't know how many times, but for every field inside this cell, this measure is now automatically being calculated. And that is what we call filter context. And that is one of the most important concepts in DAX. And we'll go into much more details on that later. I can actually show you what's happening here. So I move my calendar year to slicers. Delete this. And now I can filter this. It automatically works. I don't have to do anything. My DAX measure automatically, it gives us the right results. But what I've done now is, and let me remove this guy, let me show you what the actual filter context is. So I've created a measure that actually gives us back the filter context. So for this cell, it's Germany 2003. For this cell, it's United Kingdom 2003. But now if I switch here, 2004, 2006, 2002, it automatically changes. So that is how DAX determines what it should show here. It gives me the sum of a big table, and then automatically filters it down by whatever, some row, columns, or filters. But you might think, okay, what can we do with this? Because this is all great, but how do I take advantage of it? So for example, let me pull back in sum of sales amount. Let's take a concrete example. Now I see sum of sales amount by region. But now I want to see what is the percentage for the sum of sales amounts for all region compared to the grand total. Right? That's a very common question. How do we do that in DAX? Well, we're going to play with our filter context. We're going to overrule filter context. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to create a measure that says sales amount all regions. And something else that we've added in SQL 2012, just a side note, is formatting. So now you can add formatting to measures, and you don't have to reapply the formatting each and every time as you used to need to do in 2008 R2. Currency. So what we do is we use a magic function called calculate. And calculate is the function by far which gets you out of most situations. So what we're now going to do is calculate the sum of sales amount, and I'm just reusing other measures. Calculate the sum of sales amount. But what do I actually want to see? I want to see for each and every cell, I want to be able to divide one by the grand total. And how do we get the grand total? We get the grand total by always grouping together all regions, right? So that's what I'm going to tell my calculate. Calculate the sum of sales amount for all regions. That's it. Let me zoom in. Calculate sum of sales amount for all regions. And what this actually does, my DAX formula now will ignore everything that is put on filters by regions. So this particular, the sum of sales amount column we see on the left, is automatically filtered by regions, right? But now my new formula will ignore that filter. It will automatically override it and say, do not filter on one particular region, always use all regions. And I can show you that, because what we see now here in each cell, even though we still see row Europe France, it does give us the grand total. See? And now we can divide one by the other. So we do sum of sales amount divided by sales amount for all regions. And this is going to be a percentage. Let's call it percentage to make it sure it's a little bit small. And there we go. And I'm going to add a little bit of conditional formatting because that makes it a little bit look better and also gives us a better understanding of what these values are about. But here's the data that we got. This is the formulas that we used. And this is pretty easy to use those filter contexts in your advantage. What's next? Well, the other thing that I want to do is now that I'm looking around for it, I want to see if we can get the number of products that are actually being sold for each and every region in this year. So how many different products do we have? Another function we introduced in SQL 2012 is called the string count. And those of you who are familiar with multidimensional will know that the string count is always very hard to implement. In Tabular, it's so easy. So we use sales, product key. And we're going to do distinct count of products. And it's going to be a whole number. So what does this thing do? It's actually pretty straightforward. So what will happen here is the sales table will automatically be filtered again by region and by year. So we have a smaller subset of rows for each and every cell. And this actual table, we'll now look at the product key column in this table, and now we'll count each and every distinct row inside this table. And the result we will give you back. Pretty straightforward function now, thanks to the Tableau model, and we can now see the distinct count of products. And even if you have large data sets, this is going to be blazing fast. Because of our columnar nature in Tableau, this is much easier than it is in multidimensional. Okay. So this is a little side note, the new in SQL 2012. What else? Well, to make it a little bit more presentable, I want to be able to rank. So I want to rank each and every region against all other regions. I want to rank the regions by sum of sales amount. Another new function in SQL 2012. So let's just call it rank. And this is a function called rankX. And what does this do? And what does it take? It ranks. And here below you see what kind of arguments it takes. And the first argument of rank X is called table. So what does it mean, table? Well, if you want to rank something, and again, this rank X function is going to be evaluated in each and every cell inside your table. So it's going to take the sum of sales amount for each region, and it needs to rank it against something else. And you always want to rank the regions against all other regions, right? That's how you get a rank. I'm ranking the region that I'm currently in against all other regions. So that's what this table is about. What do you want to rank it against? I want to rank it against all regions, again, all regions. And what do you want to use to rank? I want to use the sum of sales amount. So what this thing will do is, let me make a little here, for each and every row, it's going to do sum of sales amount for the current row, and it's going to compare that against all other regions. And that's how it knows how to get a rank. I'm going to make it into a whole number. Press OK. And now we see the rank come up. But we see one thing, and let me move it a little bit to the front. I want to have BDS the first one. And sort. But one thing that we notice here is there's a particular column in the, on the on the last row that we actually don't care about. This is NA. And why do we have NA? Well, this is pretty usual in data warehouses. This is a column that we have in a dimension table where we actually, if there's a problem in our ETL while loading the data, and we have values in the fact table where we don't have values in the dimension table for, we just link it to that guy so that we don't miss data. In this case, our data is perfectly clean. So we don't have any problems. But we still see that row. And why do we see that row? Because we're asking, compare sum of sales amount against all the rows inside the regions table. And this is also part of the regions table. But I actually want to exclude it. So I'm going to show you how you can exclude it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a condition. If not is blank, sum of sales amount, execute the rank. Otherwise, return blank. Let me zoom in a little bit. So what do we do here? For each and every cell, we're going to ask if, for the current cell that we're in, we actually have a sum of sales amount, execute the rank. Otherwise, return blank. And what happens when you return blank in DAX and you do it in Excel? Excel will automatically ignore it. So it won't show. It will automatically omit those rows. So we press OK, and now we see NA disappearing. So that was pretty straightforward. What's next? Let's continue our investigation on which one is doing better than others. Because I have a hunch that this distinct kind of products will actually prove a little bit more interesting than we thought. So what I want to do is, make this a little bit larger again. Again, I want to add regions, region table, and I want to add my sum of sales amount. But we see 29 million here instead of 9 million. Does anyone have a clue why? Yes. This second pivot table that we have here is not being filtered by year. So they're not connected. So how can we connect them? A very quick tip. Go to Options, Slicer, Slicer Connections. And here you can now turn on the connection to the other slicer for this pivot table. Press OK. And now we see the 9 million. So it's now automatically connected to the other slicer. You click one slicer, all pivot tables are changed. OK, but what do we want to see? Well, I actually want to see how the sum of sales amount are for our top 10 best-selling products in each and every region. Another new function in SQL 2012. And also, it shows another interesting function which we already had. So sales, top 10 by region. It's going to be currency. So the function that we need is top N. Give me the top 10 rows from my product table ordered by sum of sales amount. And this will give me the 10 best selling products who have the highest sum of sales amount for each and every region automatically. But there's one problem with this, because this returns a table value. And this returns a table of 10 different products. And if you return something that is a table to Excel, Excel will totally not understand what you're talking about. Because Excel expects scalar values. It expects integer or decimal values. One value, not multiple values. So we need to do something with this. And what we can do here is we can sum it. And this is another function that is very useful, but only in certain scenarios. Sum x. And what this function will do is it will summarize all the values in a table together. It'll group them together. It will aggregate them. And it will aggregate them by the second argument that you pass along. So what this function will do is summarize my top 10 best-selling products by sum of sales amount, and it will summarize them by sum of sales amount. So we'll group them together. And this will return us one value. Press OK. And now we see our sales by our top 10 products by region. And it actually looks pretty amazing, right? This is 33% of all our sales are done by just 10 products. While we actually have, what do we saw here? 133 different products. So just to make it a little bit interesting, more interesting, we do a percentage. We do our top sales, top 10 by region, divided by sum of sales amount. Make it into a percentage. Check formula. Just call it PCT because we don't have a lot of space. And now we can actually see the percentage of our top 10 best-selling products, actually 33% of all our sales. So this might be an interesting venue to look at. I just noticed it. This is not really related with the question that was asked, but I noticed it and I thought this might be an interesting venue. Okay, so we've seen the sales by region. What were the sales by year? And what I want to do is, and what I want to see is, what are the sales this year? What are the sales previous year? And what are the two compared to each other? And what I don't want to do is I want to create different measures. I want to do it automatic. I want to create a table that gives me those measures and then automatically, dynamically define it. So what I've done here is I've created a table that it says current year, previous year, and year-over-year growth. And I'm going to use this table to dynamically determine which measures I want to show. And what I can do is I can add this table to Power Pivot. I can just click on the Create Link Table button, and then the table is being added to Power Pivot automatically. So let's go back. Let's look at my data type, and here it is. This is my link table. It's now part of Excel. It's now part of the model. So I can combine those two together. So what I'm going to do is sales by year, create a new pivot table, existing worksheet, date type, we drag in type on rows, and years on columns. Okay, that looks pretty straightforward. Now, let's drag in, I already created the measures, drag in the ordered sales measure, and we see only current year. We don't see previous year, we don't see year-over-year growth. But I do see there are actually previous years, so why is it not showing? What's going on here? We're going to look at my model and my fact table, and what we see here is we have an order date key. And this is the one that I'm using. And this order date key uses an integer value. It uses surrogate keys, like, let's say, 9 out of 10 data warehouses use surrogate keys. So what I want to, what's the problem? And this is the problem that we're looking at. Because if I go back to my date table, if you want to use time intelligence functions, you need a separate date table. And in the previous 2008 R2, you needed to have a real date column linked to this date table. Because DAX needs a real date column in order for it to understand those time intelligence functions. Because how does it know to go back 1 year when it sees 2003-07-01, when it sees an integer value? It doesn't know. It needs real dates. And that's how DAX works. So what I can do now in SQL Server 2012, I can actually tell in the date table where my date column lives. So I go to design, and I'm going to mark as date table. I'm going to mark this table as date table. And now we can point to what is the actual date column. Press OK. And now this also has another hidden benefit, or another benefit. If you go in Excel, and you now drag a column from your date table inside Excel, Excel now allows you to do date filters, the ones that you also know from multidimensional. If you drag a date column and you mark it correctly, you can have date filters in here. And now we press refresh, and now you see current year, previous year, year-over-year growth. They're all automatically showing up. And I've created one measure. Actually, I've created multiple measures. Let's look at the measure. Edit formula. Okay, let's go. Zoom in. What I'm doing here is, and this is another one of the best practices that I would like to reinforce, split your measures up. If you create a large measure, split them up. It makes readable, It makes it debuggable. It makes it just more easy to work and to work with and to use. So what I've done here is I've created a measure called is1yearEndType. And what this measure actually does is it looks in the cell where we are and it sees, do we actually have 1 year selected? Do we actually have one type selected? Because, for example, how can you go back 1 year in time when you have 2 years selected? That doesn't work. That will give strange results. How do you know what you want to show if you don't know which type you want to show? So if both of these are true, we go continue. And in this case, we're going to use a switch statement, also new in SQL 2012, to look at the current date type. And that's what we put on rows, right? Date type. If the value of date type for the current row is current year, we just show the sales amount, the sum of sales amount measure again. If it's previous year, we show the previous year command, a measure, the values returned from previous year. And we'll go into those measures a little bit later. If it's year-over-year growth, I subtract one from the other. And that's how you can create this dynamic measure. Let's take a look at if is 1 year in type. You can see it here, but actually what I want to be able to do is I'm going to go back to my PowerPivot window and look at it from the measure grid. Because what I can do here is, this is the formula that we use, is 1 year in type, and it uses another new function in SQL 2012. If the date table calendar year in the current cell only has one value, and the date type table, the type column, only has one value, then return true. Otherwise, return false. And this will make sure that whenever you show your measures, this thing will never go wrong. It won't go wrong if you select 1 year in type. But what I wanted to show you in the measure grid, and this is the second way that you can create measures, is what you can do here is you can hide measures from client tools. And that is very important if you are splitting up your measures, because you don't want to have to show them all to your end users, or even to yourself when you're doing analytics. You don't want to see those helper functions. So I'm going to hide it, go back. Now it says data was modified, we do refresh, and now you see it's gone. You don't see it anymore in the field list. So that's pretty handy. The function does work. I can still reference it and everything still works. Okay, so what's the other one that we used? Well, we used the previous year as well, right? So how does this look like? Now, this is the actual time intelligence function that we're using. And again, it uses calculate. Surprise, surprise. This is the function. I repeat it again. This is the function which helps you in all kinds of scenarios. And in this case, what it happens is we calculate the sum of sales amount. But instead of using the current year, instead of using the current date, we're going to move around. We're going to ask this formula to say, instead of the current date that we have in the current cell, I want you to move it back 1 year. And this means date add minus 1 year of the current date. So what I will do is we'll go to your date table and search. So you're using sales sum of sales amount. We have a relationship with the date table. It will go to the date table and check there which date value is actually being used. Then it will subtract 1 year, and there that value will be used to summarize. Question? Yes, that's a very good question. If the year doesn't exist, then you're in trouble. So you need to have a continuous date range in your date table. It's a very good question. So this is one of the time intelligence functions. We have many more. I could have used, instead of date add, some easier functions called, for example, parallel period, previous day, month, quarter, previous year. And these will return to me the same values. I just wanted to show this one because it explains it a little bit more. We have many other time intelligence functions like total year to date, quarter to date, month to date. And those are all very helpful if you want to do those typical analytical questions. The only thing is you need to set up your data. You need to have a date table with a continuous date range, and you need to mark it as date table. And if all those stars align, then you can do time intelligence functions. So what else? Okay, now we have seen the order date. We've seen order date in 2001, 2002, 2003. Now I want to be able to see the ship date. And this is another new thing we added in this release. Because what you see now here is we have three relationships between those two tables. We have sales and we have date tables. And what you see here is we have one solid line and two dotted lines. And this solid line is between order date key and the date key. And the other one is between due date key, and the other one is between ship date key. And what does this mean? Well, the solid line is the active relationship. And that is the relationship that is being used by Excel when you drag in rows and columns by default. It's also the one that's being used by DAX by default. So if you traverse the relationship in DAX, it automatically follows the solid line. But we can change that. We can use the DAX function to override this solid line and say, use the dotted line instead. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to drag in ship sales now. And again, it looks a little bit messy now, but one of the other new functions that we have is we can drag the values around. Now it certainly looks a little bit better. So we see ship sales and order sales are different. So we actually follow the other relationship. And what does this function now look like? And surprise, surprise, it's again calculate. So what this thing now says is calculate the sum of sales amount, but use another relationship. Use the relationship between date table date key and the ship date key. And I've wrapped around just my normal function, my measure. I didn't have to change my measure. I didn't even have to change my previous year measure. I could just state MSTR. But I can wrap another calculator around it and say, hey, calculate the previous year using the other relationship. So you can wrap functions around functions. And that's why I said if you break them up, it will become easier to reuse measures in all kinds of different situations. Yes? Correct. Yes. I could have used a similar technique where I enhanced this table with ship date as well. There was just not. Yeah, or a separate table as well. So you can do both. Yes, you can do both. It's just not as easy in the demo. No, no. This will work with Power View as well. Yes, because Power View is doing the same things as Excel is doing. You just need to make sure your measures are correct. Okay, let's continue. So one other thing that I wanted to dig in. I want to dig in who's actually making those sales for us. So let's look at my data first. Let's go to my employees. And I want it to be in hierarchy. And you probably already see where I'm heading, because what I'm having here is employee key and a parent employee key. And what I have here is a self-referencing relationship, a parent-child relationship. And this is what we, in multidimensional, very easily can do by just dragging and dropping a relationship, and you're done. And you put it in hierarchy, and you're good to go. In DAX, it's a little bit more complicated. What you need to do is use DAX to use parent-child. So what I'm doing is I've created a column, a calculated column, which calculates the path from my current employee to all the way to the top. So in this case, it says, give me a path between the current employee and the parent. And it will create this path. It will automatically create this completed path. One employee with key number one has a parent with employee key number 18. He has a parent with employee key number 23 with employee key 112. Now, this is not something you can give to your end users, so we need to do a little bit more. There's one big difference here is, of course, in multidimensional, you can just drag a relationship to be self-referencing. But you could have a lot of performance issues if you were not paying attention. Here, because it's a calculated column and the information is already stored in the model, this is going to be blazing fast every time you use it, because there's no calculations when you use it. Nothing is being executed while you use it. And now in order for us to use this and put this in a hierarchy, what I need to do is I need to create 5 levels. And this is where things get a little bit tedious. I need to create a column for each and every level. Luckily for me, both are the same. So what I want to do is I want to get the first item from the path. In this case, it's going to return to me 112. But I'm not going to want to show 112 to my end users. I want to show the actual name. So what I can do is use another DAX function we introduced, lookup value. And what this thing will do is look up the last name where employee key is equal to the value returned from the first path item. So this will look up the last name where employee key is 112. And this is going to be the big boss, Mr. Sanchez. So I just copy this formula for each and every column. Now path 2, 3, 4, 5. And as you probably have noticed, the downside of this is if you get another level, you need to create a new calculator column. So you need to change your model if new levels come in. Or you can create levels for thinking ahead in the future, but at least you need to do some manual work. So I've created those columns. And now I'm adding this in the employee table as a hierarchy. And I've hidden the original columns. So let's take a look at it. Employee, and here's my employee hierarchy. We click on it, and now we add sales amount. And here we go, 29 million. I can open it and see something is wrong. This would be very nice if everyone would make 29 million in our company, but unfortunately, that's not the case. This data is not going well. And what's going on here? Let's go back and look at my data model. For those of you who have been paying attention in this late hour, you might have seen something fishy. Because Power Pivot always supports only one type of relationship. And what happens here is we have many sales and one region. But we have many employees and one region. So we have a classical cross-filter or a many-to-many problem. And what I'm going to show you is very briefly is that this can be solved using DAX. This is a very complicated topic, so I'll just briefly touch it. If you want to know more, unfortunately, Alberto's session has already been yesterday. But it's recorded, and you can watch it on the TechEd site when it becomes available. So I would recommend doing that, because he has to spend an hour long on explaining the many-to-many problem. I'm not going to do that in 20 minutes. That's not possible. But I will show you very briefly, and I'll try to explain it very briefly, how it works. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to add some of sales amount per employee. If I now drill down, we actually see it working. And what did I do? This a little bit to this direction. We can have them two together. Oh. So, the problem here is that DAX doesn't know how to traverse these relationships. It doesn't know what to do. That's why it asks for, hey, I need to create a relationship. I'm lost. Please help me. Because the relationships are such matter that it doesn't know how to do it, we need to help him. And that's what we're doing here. We're using, again, calculate to tell him that we need to change the relationship. We're pushing the relationship down the line. Because it does know the relationship between region and sales amount. But the problem is we want to have sales by employees. And that it doesn't know. So what we're doing here is we're saying calculate the sum of sales amount, but summarize, and this is where we use summarize, because return to me only the regions where sales territory key for the current selected employee. Because in the pivot table, we have employees selected. And the summarized employees will make sure that from my regions table, the employees are being selected that belong, the regions are being selected that belong to the employee which are in the current table. And that's why I said it's pretty complicated. That's why Alberto has an hour-long session on it, So I would urge you to go look at his session when it becomes online if you want to know more about this. But as I showed you, it is solvable. You can do it in many different ways, and this is currently the most fast way that we know. And for that is so far for the power pivot side of things. Are there any questions on the power pivot side of things, on DAX? That will work for a racket hierarchy, yes. The only problem is we don't support hide member if, for example. So if you see, if I scroll down here, you see empty rows showing up. So we don't have that yet. Yeah, so the path, yes. So what I did is, let me quickly go back for a short, let's go here. So I've created the levels here, and then I created the hierarchy in here. So I created the hierarchy where I put all the levels in, and now it is automatically being transformed into that path that you just noticed. That just happens when I put all the levels inside this hierarchy. Then it automatically creates that path. How did DAX? Okay. So it just has the path between employee key and parent employee key. Okay. So let's continue. I have a few more slides that I want to show you. So now we're going into the DAX for the BI Pro side of things. So DAX was introduced in Power Pivot for Excel. But now our SQL Server Data Tools also supports multidimensional and tabular models. So you can create two different flavors of BI professional projects. DAX can be used in this SDT, but also in SSMS for SQL 2012. And you can use DAX in row level security. You can have username functions, and then you can do dynamic security. There's a great blog post out there by Cathy Dumas, who was previously on our team. And she explains in many details how you can set up dynamic security using DAX. So what does the architecture look like? So we have one BI semantic model, but depending on the client tool, we send a different language. We either send MDX, Excel sends MDX language, and MDX is being understood by both the tabular and the multidimensional language. So what we have is one BI semantic model with two different data models. One is the multidimensional and one is the tabular. And both are very different in nature. We have two different kinds of business logic. MDX and DAX. And we have four different types of data access. If you use MDX, it's going to use rollup and molup, and this is the way the data is being stored on the engine. And the other one is, in DAX, we use our VertiPack engine and direct query, which means I can translate DAX queries into SQL queries and directly push through to our underlying data source. Right now, only tabular can talk both MDX and DAX. So you can send MDX queries to it, and you can send DAX queries. Our multidimensional part only talks MDX for now. This means PowerView also doesn't work on multidimensional because PowerView sends DAX queries. We are currently working on it. I don't have a timeline, but we are currently working on enabling that. So how do you query the BI semantic model with DAX? DAX query results are always returned as a table, a row set. So we have special functions in order for us to return those tables. Usually, users won't query directly. PowerView will send them. But things are already changing. We see many more people already starting to write DAX queries and use it in applications. And they also find out a way how you can hack reporting services so you can actually use DAX queries directly into reporting services instead of sending MDX queries. So it's getting more and more used in other scenarios than just PowerView. So what does the query syntax look like? Well, there are a few parts. First of all, you can actually define a new measure inside your query. This measure will not be stored in the model. It will just kept local. But this is very interesting, very good feature. The other thing is what is, you can do evaluate over a DAX table expression. And this is actually the key word that is being used to know that this is a DAX function. Evaluate this tabular function or this table And this will give us a row set. And every row set can be ordered by the values in the row set of returns. And let's go ahead and take a look at that. Oh, wrong button. Here we are. So what I've done here is I've opened up SSMS, SQL Server Management Studio, for the one that you get with SQL Server 2012. And what I've actually done here is I've opened DaxQuery.mdx. That's pretty interesting. And what you see on the left as well is you see multidimensional. You see the multidimensional representation of my tabular model that I created. And what I've done is the workbook that we just saw, I've just restored back into my tabular server. And now this is the same model, but now it lives on the server. And now you see a tabular representation of it, because we only have right now in SQL Server Management Studio an MDX query editor. But because our engine understands both, you can actually just send DAX queries to it. It will just work, and it will just return results. So how does it work? Well, we start by evaluate. So in this case, what I'm going to do is evaluate the regions table, execute, and this will give me the results in a tabular form. Pretty straightforward. So what I want to do here is I want to actually look, because we have been publishing this report on my tabular server, we've been processing it for a while, and now we see some strange results. So we need to pinpoint where these problems are. So what I want to do is I want to go down and filter down until I find my result. And so what I can do is I can filter down my table. I can use evaluate again. But now I'm going to use a filter function. And again, this is a function we already introduced in SQL Server 2008 R2. There's nothing special about this function. But this function returns a table. So what I'm doing is filter my regions where sum of sales amount is larger than 20,000. This will return a smaller set than we had before. And because I wrap evaluate around it, you now see less results. So these are only the regions with less than with more than 20,000 sum of sales. Okay, let's continue. Because I also want to see, besides regions, I want to see products. And what I can do is I can cross-join the two together. And what this means is, for each and every region inside the regions table, I'm showing all the products. So each region with all the products. And it's a big cross-join. So we get a big union of all the rows inside those two tables. But the result of that union, I'm going to filter. So each region with each product is going to be filtered by sum of sales amount larger than 20,000. So this will give me a subset of products and regions with more than 20,000 sum of sales amount. So it's still a pretty big table, and we see a lot of results. So I want to filter this thing down, because I want to see less. I want to pinpoint where the problem is. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add some more functions. What I'm doing here is I'm now cross-joining two columns and not two big tables. So what I'm doing is cross-join the values of the region table with the values of the product table, English product name. So the values of the regions column in the regions table with all the English product names. And those two are now cross-joined. And this means it only cross-joins two columns and not all the rows. But I still want to filter those results by 20,000. But in order for me to see where the problem lies, I actually need to see the measure as well. So what I'm doing is, to the result set that's being returned, those two columns, regions and English product name, I'm adding a third column. And this third column contains of the measure, sum of sales amount. I'm doing add columns. And this third column now executes this formula for each and every row inside this table. So it gives me the sum of sales amount for the region product combination that I show you. I'm running it, and now we see regions, North America, with products, and with the sum of sales. So this allows me to pinpoint those results. And an interesting thing where you can use those DAX queries for, if you have very complex calculations, This gives you a very easy way to actually see intermediate table results. So you can use SMS to debug measures that you want to use in Power Pivot. So just a thought, if you ever get stuck and you don't know what the results are, this is a good way to debug it. So what else do we want to see? Well, actually, I want to now see, for all my regions, I want to see the top 5 best-selling products. So I'm going to use a function called generate. And generate will, for each argument in the first function, give me the top 5 best-selling products. So for each region, it's going to find the top 5 best-selling products by sum of sales amount. And we're going to run that. You'll see we have Northwest 5 times with English product names. And the other thing that we can do here is we can do evaluate, summarize, and this is the most important function in DAX queries. It's very easy to use. Summarize my sales table and group them by English product name and calendar year. And show them, of those results, the sum of sales amount. Aggregate that values. And the interesting thing here is, where we say we are very tabular and very SQL-like in nature, the interesting thing here is you don't have to write any inner joins or anything. What we have here is values from, we have the sales table, which we group, which we aggregate, where we get the sum of sales amount from the product table, from English product name, and date table, where we have calendar year. So three different tables, no inner joins. That information is all stored in the model. So if I execute this, we see those results. English product name, day table, and total sales. Yes, but that means as you need to change your measure, and then it will work automatically. So if you change your measure to use sum of shipped sales, and in this measure you do use the relationship, then you automatically get that. So another thing that we can do is order them. So this is the same summarized, but now ordered. And I'm ordering by total sales and calendar year. So you see now English product name, the day table, and total sales ordered by sales. So we see per year the total sales, the number one product is English product name. And the last thing that I'm going to show you now is how you can define your own measure. So you can define your own measure. In this case, we're going to define you as the gross profit because we don't have this inside our model. So I want to see what is the gross profit. What is the sales amount minus the total product cost? And I can just define my measure. And I can use this in my summarize function. So I just added a new column, a new row, where it says gross profit is this sales gross profit measure, which I defined up here. So I can just execute this. And now we see the gross profit is being returned as well. And that is what you can do with DAX queries. DAX queries are pretty powerful. We're just in the beginning stage of seeing what we can do with DAX queries. But the one thing that we found out is DAX queries are very suitable for reporting purposes, for PowerView. That's why PowerView chose to use those DAX formulas. And the other thing is, it also takes, so it's very powerful for any reporting because it actually returns a tabular result. Where the multidimensional, you always have to find, you have to define your tabular result in the query statement. Okay, let's go back to the last few slides. So in review, what have we seen? DAX is introduced in Power Pivot SQL Server 2008 R2. There are new DAX enhancements that will be coming in SQL Server 2002. IT pros can use DAX in analysis service with SSDT. We have seen demos of DAX in Power Pivot. We've seen demos of DAX in query language. They're both a little bit different, but they are quite similar still. The concepts are the same. And some related content. So this is the one that I was talking about. This is the many-to-many relationships in the Visum Tabular. Marco, and one request, if you've been there, fill out your evaluation, please. The next one is building self-service BI applications using Power Pivot from my colleague Julie, who's sitting in the back, hiding. That shows you what you can do with Power Pivot. Another interesting session is by Marco tomorrow. I think it's tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, Business and Multidimensional versus Tabular. And this will show you a little bit more tips and tricks in DAX as well, how you can solve many problems in Tabular, which we previously actually thought were purely multidimensional issues. So I really would advise you to go there. And the other one is our session by, that's the one I referred to earlier, by our colleague Ashvini and Alan, in optimizing your BI semantic model for performance and scale. So this will go deep down into the engine. This will show you what is actually happening while we're processing, what is being done, how does this compression work. So this is a very, very interesting session. You can find me later at the Microsoft Inside Booth, or send me an email at Microsoft.com, or go to my PowerPivot blog where I have some DAX stuff, and you can also leave me messages there, or you can find me on Twitter. And I will try and reply as soon as I can on Twitter as well. Track resources. And please complete your evaluation, and let's open it up for questions. Question. And for those of you who are leaving, thank you very much for attending. This one? No, that is unfortunately not possible. That is an interesting request, though. Thank you. Yeah. Any other questions? Yes. So everything of this is, so all the sessions in TechEd are going to be online for you to be able to view. So I just used the AdventureWorks data warehouse here, so you can just redo all of this yourself if you want to. Any other? Yeah?
DAX and using it for reporting services?
Yes.
So can it be parameterized that you pass something through into the filter?
Yes. So there actually is a recent blog post by Chris Webb where he actually explains how to do it. So it is possible, yes.
Thanks.
And he even shows some tricks. Any other questions? Saw some other hands. Yeah? Yes, so everything is implicitly filtered by whatever's on rows and columns. So in this sales top 10 by region, so the question was, is sales top 10 by region automatically filtered by year? And in this case, yes, because everything you see here is filtered by whatever's in context. In this case, I sliced by year, so all the sales are automatically going to be sliced by this year. So the question is there any write-back functionality? No, there is no write-back functionality in Tableau model. Yeah, so what you can do is like what I did here. So let's say I add something here, I type something in, and I go back to Power Pivot. It's now added to the model. So it's not the same, but it's it's a technology. So there's an excellent question. The question is it advised to use the use relationship when you have multiple date relationships, or you want to copy the date table three times? And I think it all depends on how you want to display it. Because sometimes you actually want to have three different date filters, for example. And if you have three different dates, then it's possible to filter them but on the same time. And with this method, you can only see measures in this particular change. So not filters, for example. So I would say it kind of depends on how you want to display it. If you want to have three different date filters, as slicers, for example, then I would recommend adding three different tables. If you just want to have the measures shown up differently, then you can use the use relationship. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All right, thank you.
So the stack query management,
so there is actually, and good that you bring it out, there is a DAX white paper built by Peter sitting here in the front. There is a DAX white paper just recently released and updated with SQL 2012. And it's on the MSDN side, and it's also on the Microsoft.com download side. Peter Myers, he's sitting right over there, so you can harass him. He's yawning very hard now. Any other questions? Yeah. So the question is, how does security work? So in Power Pivot, there is only security on the document level if you share it to SharePoint. If you have a tabular model in SDT, you can define row-level security. And then you can say, when this user connects, you can only say region east and nothing else. Or you can set up dynamic security as well. So you can say you have a security table in your database, and now you use the username function to get this, the current user who's connecting, and let's look into the database table, how you can actually, what rights he has.
Do you lock down things that you like, don't let the user
connect? No. In Power Pivot, it's what you see is what you get. You're a full admin if you open up the Excel. If you have access to Excel, you're a full admin. So the what? Excuse me. The role-based dimension. No, we don't have role-based dimensions. No, unfortunately not. Yeah, so you need to just import it three different times. That's how it is right now. Anyone else? Yeah, so I did show that, I think, but so you can create measures in here in the measure grid. I can do test equals, yes, they're both in the same place. They're both stored inside our model. So either if I create it here or if I create it here, so if I now go back, go here and now refresh, should be able to find test. Yeah. So if you have hidden, but this is something else. But okay, if you drag in, and that's what Grant is pointing out, and that's what Julie showed in her session, as soon as you drag in, let's say type on here, it automatically creates count of type, it's automatically a measure, but you don't see those measures in here. You only see them if you enable show implicit measures. Because under the covers, Excel creates those measures for you, or Power Pivot actually creates those measures for you. But those are hidden measures, implicit measures. And if you want to see them, you can turn it on here in the Advanced tab. In the Advanced tab, you turn on by clicking on this guy and say Switch to Advanced. In this case, I already had it, so now I said Switch to Normal. And you can turn this on, and now it shows those measures. Any other questions? All right, thank you very much. Thank you for your attention, and if you have more questions, please come to the phone.